We have four letters in the postbag this week. The first is from Ian MacDonald of Billericay. There has been much heated discussion recently about the number of pigeons in the city centres like Norwich. There are those among us who find them attractive, colourful creatures and are happy to toss them a titbit or two, whilst others have been getting in a flap and having their feathers ruffled to such an extent that they are busy dreaming up plans to obliterate them. The crux of the problem is surely the overwhelming size of the pigeon population, which is not going to decrease as long as people deliberately empty bags of bird food onto the pavements for them to gobble up. Like most other creatures, pigeons can be liked by some members of the public, whilst at the same time disliked by others for the danger they can pose to human health. In my younger days, people would happily buy a container of bird food to feed the pigeons in Trafalgar Square. Then it was realised just how much damage they were doing to buildings, monuments and statues, and how many diseases they can transmit, so feeding there is now illegal. Like humans, pigeons need food to survive, so they go in search of it. They find easy targets in outdoor markets and anywhere people sit down to eat takeaway meals. The main solution to the unwelcome explosion of the pigeon population in city centres is to deter people from feeding them, which is, after all, a kind of littering, by imposing hefty, meaningful fines. This is regrettably necessary in the interest of safeguarding human health. A second solution is to move food stalls indoor markets. Meanwhile, we must all resist the temptation to throw pigeons a few of our takeaway chips. We must bin all litter securely, and if we still love to feed the pigeons, do it privately, in our own gardens and on our own balconies. Even then, we still need to realise that encouraging pigeons to come near our homes is an invitation for them to explore beneath the rooftop slates, store twigs and leaves under all those environmentally friendly solar panels, and clog up our gutters and drain pipes with their debris.
Paul Reed of Norwich cannot thank the NHS enough. I'm writing to thank staff at the NNUH for their excellent service. From the moment we called 999, the paramedic arrived within 20 minutes, acted promptly and gave reassurance. The ambulance arrived shortly after and swiftly got me to hospital, and the crew stayed with me for some considerable time in the emergency department. They also came back to see me later after they had delivered another patient to the same department. I cannot fault them, considering all the negative comments they receive about taking too long to get to patients and ambulances having long wait times outside the hospital. I was fortunate and did not experience any of that. Over my 4 days in hospital, I would like to thank the porters who took me to all the various appointments I had to attend, the tea ladies who always had a smile, and the doctors and nurses who were all very kind, the pharmacist who made sure we understood what all the medication was for and when to take it, the very lovely Debbie, the staff nurse on docking ward, who did not take her break until she had made sure we had everything we needed before we left the hospital. She also kept us laughing with her good sense of humour. We cannot thank them enough.
Well, it's Ian MacDonald writing again, but it is quite an interesting point. Hands off old off. A few readers have recently expressed horror in seeing the ungrammatical could of, should of, and might of in written English. now most often confined to text messages and emails. I agree with reader Warwick Jones that this seems to be a case of people writing down what they've heard or think they've heard. If he now launches a campaign against off of, however, he'll be on rather shakier ground, because not only is it commonplace to the point of being acceptable in modern idiomatic American usage, but many examples can be found in works by Marvell, Bunyan, Defoe, and other writers of note. It's certainly been around since 1590, when Shakespeare's character Simpcox claimed to be disabled following a fall off of a tree in Henry VI Part 2. Perhaps it would be safer to launch a campaign against the even more hideous "I hope you're Y-O-U-R well."
We will leave the last word to Margaret Gaffney in Norfolk. Am I the only person who considered the recent article about the Norwich War Memorial lazy with inappropriate language? Reading the piece that contained the expression "pulled their finger out" and also use of the word "grotty," could it have not read, "At last work has taken place to restore this memorial to its original state"? Our beautiful English language is being corrupted and cheapened, in my humble opinion.